Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for joining us if you just tuned in. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. It's a dream come true for me to be here talking to you and be able to introduce you to our good friend Ivan Meisner. Ivan is the president and the founder of an outstanding international organization, a truly international organization, Business Network International. He's our good friend. He's the author of a number of books, including Masters of Networking and Masters of Success, and on, I don't know how many, I guess maybe 8 or 10 books that he's written. They've sold something under 10 million copies worldwide, and he's got people all over the world who are taking advantage of the BNI program. But more importantly for me is he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Ivan Meisner, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's always great to be on the show.
It's good to have you back, and I'm glad you're here today because you've got some research for us, right?
I surely do.
You guys have actually conducted some research on why people join networking organizations.
Yeah, and we worked with a gentleman by the name of Steve Brewer, who is a graduate student at St. Thomas University, and he did his master's thesis on a number of things about networking organizations that I think people wonder and assume and may assume correctly and may assume incorrectly about how networking groups work.
Mm-hmm. All right, what did you find out?
Well, a lot of things. The first one would not be a big surprise, and that is, you know, how did most people learn about networking groups? And one would hope that it was through word of mouth, and based on his results, that's in fact exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. That 76% of all the people who joined the networking groups based on his study joined because they were invited by someone. And that only 10% came as a result of all media, newspaper listings, website, trade shows, everything.
So basically what we're saying here is that networking groups, whichever one that is, have got a ways to go to get the PR out there, to get people educated, don't they? Because most people are not waking up in the morning saying, I need to join one of those networking groups.
Possibly. I read this as most networking groups thrive because they have people inviting people. That is, somebody's actually through word of mouth.
No. I get that, and I see that the networking groups are doing a good job of getting people, of inviting people. I mean, that's a good thing, obviously. Yeah. But I'm just saying that I guess one of the ways I was looking at it is that people may not be waking up, and I do think that that's the case, Ivan. I think most people are waking up in the morning and they need more business. They need to build more communities. They need a larger circle of contacts, but they don't exactly know where to make that happen.
Okay, I would agree with that. We certainly learned that we don't build a membership, and we learned this years ago without the study, that you don't build memberships by just simply putting an ad in the newspaper, because mm-hmm. people don't pick up the newspaper to look for a networking group. They don't read an ad
right.
to find a networking group. And I think that's important because we do find some of our groups in BNI who are constantly looking for some miracle, some way to build it without doing the necessary things that one has to do to be successful in a networking group, which is to build it through word of mouth. You know, it's important to walk the talk in a referral organization.
Well, see, the thing about it is it seems to me that a networking group is kind of like a hamburger.
All right.
You and I know that if we're hungry, we know that if if we want a hamburger, we know that hamburger is going to have two pieces of bread and some meat and a pickle and some onions and some you know, mustard or ketchup or something like that. We know how that's made up, and so when we want a hamburger, we think about what all that's going to taste like. Right? It's pretty intuitive for us, a hamburger, and we also know it's on every corner.
Yeah.
most of us don't know how a networking group works or where to find one because they're not on every corner.
No.
And that's one of the things I want to help fix is, and I know you do, but I want to do this for all networking groups. I just kind of have a special affection for yours. But but the thing is that, and I know you feel the same way. I mean, I know you well enough to know that you want people to join BNI, but you really want them to join some networking group.
Yes, if they want to be successful, I believe that's necessary in almost any business today.
Yeah. But it's not 21st century intuitive. It's more intuitive this century than it was last century, but it's still not top of mind. It's still not on. When we say I don't have enough business, when we say I'm hungry, I want a hamburger, I know how it's made. When we say I don't have enough business, we don't immediately say, oh, that's a networking group, because I know how those things go together. When we come back, you're going to tell us some more things that you learned in this research. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Hamburger Man. We'll be right back after these messages.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back at 17 Till, and folks, I happen to know that approximately 20 years ago this month, a guy out in California decided to start a new business. He had this idea for this new business, and it was about bringing people together and getting them to share ideas and to share leads and to build communities and to develop business, help each other develop business. And he had this idea of doing it nationally, and then he got the idea of doing it internationally. And 20 years later, it's an absolute model for network marketing worldwide, maybe even in the universe. Who knows? And it was a company called Business Network International. It was founded by our good friend Ivan Meisner. Ivan, happy 20th anniversary.
Thank you very much. We just hit our 22nd country last month.
Wow. And you started on my show in 99. You started coming on my show in 99, so that would be about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
How many countries were you in 99?
Five.
See what happens, folks, when people come on the Small Business Advocate show?
In no small part. I'm sure that's a good piece of it.
I do what I can. Listen, people are listening to me in Barbados on the internet and Israel and Romania and wherever else you've been. Now, congratulations, Ivan. It has been exciting to me over the last 6 years to see your dream blossom like it has.
Well, it has been Mr. Toad's wild ride. We opened in 2004. We opened over 500 chapters worldwide. It took us the first 12 years of the organization to open 500.
Wow.
But we did that last year alone.
Wow. That's incredible. That's so, and you know what? That's encouraging to me too, Ivan, because you know, I started this dream 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago. And your story is that you're ahead of me in your story. And so it's exciting to see what can happen. And I want to get back to the research, but I want you to do something for us right now.
Sure.
Talk to us about what was in your head 20 years ago this month. What were you thinking? What were your goals? What were you trying to accomplish? What were you frightened about?
You know, I'd like to tell you that I had this vision of an international organization, but the truth is I was looking for some referrals for my consulting practice.
Mm-hmm.
I was a management consultant. I worked with people in hiring, training, evaluating employees. And I had just lost a big client who didn't renew a contract that I was expecting to renew. And I sat down, and at that point I had just bought a new home, and I thought, you know, oh, my God, how am I going to pay this mortgage? I need to drum up some business, and I need to drum it up.
A mortgage will motivate you, won't it?
Yes, it will. I had just bought a house, you know, just a couple of months earlier, and my largest contract didn't renew because they were having financial troubles that I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down, and I said, okay, how do I get most of my business? Well, I get all of my business through referrals and through speaking engagements. Those were the two ways that, as a consultant, I got virtually all of my business. And so I increased my number of speaking engagements, and I met with some friends of mine who I did business with, and I said, hey, how about we get together on a regular basis and form a group that's very focused and structured on doing referrals with one another. And that was the beginning of BNI. We met for a couple of months, and someone came to that very first group who couldn't join because of a conflict, and she said, wow, this is great. You know, because I don't know, I really haven't explained today, but BNI, we allow only one person per flavor to be in a chapter. So it's one lawyer, one CPA, one banker. And I said, I got the group started, and this woman came to me and said, would you help me start my own group, a second group? And I thought, yeah, I can do two of these plus my consulting practice. And we opened up the second group. About 20 people came to the second group who couldn't join. 20 people came, two couldn't join, and both of them said, wow, would you help us open up another group?
Because you said,
great.
Hey, I'm onto something here.
Well, not even then, you know. It was on the third group, there were 20 or 30 people came, and two couldn't join there. And so we had to open up a two or three more. And it really took almost a year.
I'm exhausted here, Ivan. When did it click?
The first year. End of the first year. When we opened 20 chapters by the end, and I went, wow, I have struck a nerve.
I'm onto something here.
That I didn't think existed out there. I mean, I knew referrals were important for me. I just didn't realize how important they were for the average.
You know, this is a great testament to human beings. And the reason I say that, as you're telling this story, as I think you know, Ivan, I'm a Rotarian.
Yes.
And I know a little bit about Paul Harris, who founded Rotary in 1905 in Chicago. I know a little bit about his story. And you know what? It sounded an awful lot like yours.
Well, you know, I too was a Rotarian for many years, almost 16 years. And it's a great organization. And I highly recommend Rotary for anyone who wants to build their business, because it's a great way to meet a lot of movers and shakers in the community, you know, main business people throughout the community.
Well, that's interesting about your story, Ivan, is that I don't know how many people I've known that have incredibly successful businesses that when they first started out at the very beginning, they didn't start out intending to do what they're now doing.
Yeah.
It was just as Robert Frost said, as way leads on to way. You know, you just keep following your nose, following your instincts, following your passion, and believing in human beings. And that's what you did, isn't it?
It is. And I did, you know, I did that for 3 years where I was running my consulting business and BNI. It took 3 years before I decided to sell off the consulting business and just do BNI.
Stand by, Ivan. We'll come back. We're going to talk some more about this research he's found out about why people join networking groups. Are you a member of a networking group? If you're not, you probably need to be. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Ivan Meisner. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ivan Meisner is here, too. Dr. Ivan Meisner is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, celebrating 20 years of Business Network International, and I'm so proud of you, Ivan. I don't know what to do, because I know you're doing some good things, not just because of what you've accomplished, but what you've helped other people accomplish. There's no telling how many businesses out there, business owners and employees, whose lives that your organization has made better, whose businesses have been improved by your efforts and your dream, and it's a pleasure and an honor to know you, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Really,
Ivan,
crucial.
Let's get back into I want to talk about a little bit of the research, a little bit more about the research on why people join networking groups, and then I want to wrap up the hour by talking about what's going on down in Southeast Asia and what you guys are doing for that. So give us a little more research on why people join networking groups.
Well, and it's not just why, but sort of the makeup of the people who do join, and I thought this one was fairly interesting, because people will sometimes say to me, gee, I'm not sure I want to join a networking group because it's full of mostly newbies to business, people who are, you know, young people who are new and they aren't very seasoned. And based on the study done at St. Thomas University, the age breakdown for those who participate in networking groups, it's a perfect bell curve. I mean, literally a perfect bell curve, with only 10% of the participants in most networking groups being between the ages of 20 and 29.
Hmm.
The overwhelming majority of people who participate in networking groups are, in fact, 40 to 50, 40 to 49, 31% of the participants, and less than 5% are over 60. So when you look at the graph, which, by the way, much of what we're talking about today, you can see at entrepreneur.com, where I have an article.
Right.
Is a perfect bell curve, which is really indicative of the general business community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so you're going to get a cross section of the business community when you join a networking organization. Second thing is,
are you finding that to be true internationally?
Yes, but the second one, what I'm about to say, we're finding not to be true internationally, and that is about gender. The breakdown of male female in a BNI group or in a networking organization is approximately a 60-40 break. About 60% of the participants are men and 40% are women. Now, that coincides well with my doctoral study that was done in 1993, which was exactly 60-40. This one was 59-41.
You know, do you know how many, do you know what the percentage of women business owners, the percentage of American businesses are owned by women?
No.
40. It's exactly overlays the women business ownership number.
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Is it,
it matches perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It is different in other countries. Surprisingly, Britain has a much smaller percentage of women, probably closer to 20% than 40%. I don't know if that's indicative of their the female business ownership,
right.
But it is what you see in the networking groups. And then in other countries, you may see less. Malaysia, a Muslim country, appears to be less.
Right.
But for the most part, around the world, it's pretty pretty close to a 60-40 percentage, at least in the industrialized nations.
Very interesting. Ivan, we got a couple of minutes left. We all know about the disaster, the catastrophic events that happened in Southeast Asia, Sri Lanka, India, Indonesia, Thailand, etc. Your BNI has a presence in some of those countries, don't you?
Yes, we do. In Malaysia, India, Singapore, what other country in that?
You were about to open Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the areas that we are in, and so as a result, we've put together a tsunami relief fund. I'm sorry to say that one of our members of BNI passed away, or at least appears to have passed away from a tsunami.
I'm sorry about that.
Member from the United Kingdom who was visiting visiting Sri Lanka with his wife, and they've disappeared. So
wow.
So it has affected the organization. We've created a tsunami relief fund where we're matching contributions to the fund.
Good for you.
And we're already up to $21,000.
Now, how do we do this? How do we contribute to that?
Go to BNI.com, www.BNI.com, look at the very first news brief up at the website, and it'll give you all of the instructions.
Quickly,
on what to do.
What are you going to do with the money?
All of the money is going to go to the Red Cross or to other appropriate agencies.
100%, no administration, right?
Zero administration.
The check will go straight to the people.
Every dollar given will go.
Straight to the people who know how to distribute it and who will do it well. And let me say something, folks. If Ivan says he'll do that, he will do that. Ivan, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
You for doing this work with the Tsunami Fund, and happy anniversary again.
Thanks. It's always great to be on your show.
We'll see you next time. Let's do 20 more. What do you think?
I'm ready.
All right. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.